Hello and welcome into another episode of Behind the Edge with Nick and Cody, coming at you with our week 8 review and a week 9 look ahead to the early lines, coming off a very, very hot 9-1 week for the boys. A lot more fun getting on the pod after a good week, especially one as good as this one. We were inches away from a 9-0-1 week. I don't think we've ever been 10-0, and I think 9-1 we've done once before, if I remember right. Yep. So that would have been our best week of all time. The Jaden Daniels Hail Mary, unfortunately, pushed us to 9-1, but hard for us to complain after such a successful week. Back into the green on the season, 41-39 overall for the boys. Obviously, way in the positive overall the past 3 years. So we weren't really that concerned this early in the year, but it's nice to be in the green, Cody.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a fun week, just a fun week in general. Actually, watching a lot of bets cash.
Good
we
games.
Had a couple that we had a couple that we kind of just cruised to, and then a couple that we had to sweat down till almost the very last minute. So it was a good week all around. We made a couple of really good calls on a couple of these games, and it feels good. It's nice. I think I'm back to 19-21 on the season and was 12-18 just 2 weeks ago. So nice to have a little bit of a comeback and be within striking distance of getting positive, at least on my own record. And then, like you said, overall positive as a podcast again. So good to be back here. We just need to avoid one of those disastrous weeks, because I think the last time we got positive, we had the 2-8 week,
absolutely.
I believe. So just got to avoid that next week, keep piling on, and hopefully keep picking winners. But yeah, no, like you said, a lot more juice coming on the podcast after a 9-1 week than the past. Last week wasn't bad, but the weeks before then were a little bit rough. So yeah, happy to be here. Happy to be within, again, striking distance of getting positive on the year.
Yeah, let's get to the games real quick. Cody and I both on this first one, Baltimore-Cleveland, over 44.5. Ends up being pretty comfortable at 29-24. Definitely did not feel that way throughout the game. Was only 10-6 at half. Me and Cody definitely thought we were in some trouble there, but a big third quarter, 3 touchdowns. And then the Baltimore Ravens chasing points at the end. We felt pretty good at 23-17. Just needed one more score from either side. Lamar gets it for us, and then Cleveland actually ends up pushing this way over with a touchdown of their own after Baltimore had taken the lead. So I think we deserve this one all the way. 387 total yards for the Ravens, 401 for Cleveland. You'd expect at least 45 points with that much yardage on both sides. Baltimore only 2-for-10 on third downs and 0-for-2 on fourth downs. So we got a little unlucky in that regard. There was a drive in the first quarter. It took pretty long. They got down to the 5-yard line and got stopped on 4th-and-1. Both the overs I have bet this year have had that happen on the first drive of the game. But we persevered. And like I said, 10-6 at half. We were looking dicey, but these teams got going on the offensive side. 22 first downs each team. At the end of the day, this was a good cap, I believe. And at 44.5, it ended up being pretty easy. Did not feel that way, like I said, but I am comfortable with the end result here. The process was good, and the result followed.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, the turnover on downs to start the game well within Cleveland Browns territory was a little concerning. And then also the missed field goal at the end of the third quarter was a little bit concerning as well. But once the Browns went down, scored another field goal to make it 23-17. I felt at least a little bit better, because I thought the Ravens had at least one drive in them to take him down the field and take a small lead in that game. And that's exactly what they did. Got us to where we needed. And then they actually ended up putting another touchdown on the board to basically cement the over as an easy over like we thought it to be early in the week. So, yeah. And I believe we had maybe the worst first quarter for an over possible. I believe it was 3-0 at the end of the first. And I think it was the first game to go to the second quarter of the 12:00 game. So the clock was moving quite a bit. Not a lot of points were being scored. It didn't look very good in the beginning, but both these offenses kind of got humming there in the second half. And like we kind of predicted, you know, Jameis played pretty solid, had a couple touchdown passes, didn't have any terrible turnovers. There was one fumble. Yeah, he tried for sure.
So yeah, he did what we wanted.
But that's the Jameis experience. That's why you take those overs, because he's going to put them in. He's going to put a team in position to score some points
exactly.
almost every time he's on the field. So, yeah, great play there. And just improved our record on betting overs by that much. So, got to love that.
Yep. Yeah, love that we doubled down on that one. A little bit of a sneaky over, like I said. Didn't hear a ton of people on it as I was listening to different podcasts throughout the week. But we come through that one pretty easily. My next best bet, Indianapolis +5. Get the cover here. This one feels a little dirty, but betting these numbers in between 3 and 7 in these divisional games, you end up getting the covers on these point spreads when you have the points when these games are close. Indy, my God, watching Anthony Richardson is really tough as a bettor. 2 for 15 in the first half passing. I think I saw the lowest completion percentage for a quarterback that attempted at least 10 passes or something like that. Absolutely atrocious. One of them, luckily, a 69-yard touchdown. But had a horrible, horrible interception at the end of the first half that I thought was going to sink us. Oh, my God. 3rd and 3, minute left. Should have just ran the ball. They were running effectively all game, Indianapolis was. I don't know why they didn't run more. But Anthony Richards tries to force a pass deep in his own end and predictably gets intercepted. Houston scores a touchdown instead of what would have only probably been a field goal if they'd ended up punting. Thought that was going to sink us, but Richardson actually ended up throwing a really nice touchdown at the end of the game when they were down 10 to get us within 3, and then Houston could not drive down the field. Then Indy actually had a chance to tie it at the end of the game, but they didn't get there. Actually, probably good for us they didn't send it to OT because it ended up saving us. My cap basically relied on C.J. Stroud kind of struggling in this one without Collins, and he did to a degree. 7.7 yards per attempt, 285 yards, 1 score. It's okay. It's not the prolific day you'd expect Stroud to have against a weak secondary, so I'm okay on that part of the cap. I think he had a good game, not a great one, and it ended up being enough for us to cover. That fumble was also lucky. I was at +6. I was looking good because Houston was up by 3. They were in Indy territory trying to score a touchdown to put out of reach. Would have settled for the field goal, but they ended up fumbling the ball away, and the Colts got it, so... That part, a little lucky for the +5 to cash. This is probably the one I feel like I got the luckiest on this one out of all of the 5 that we had.
Yeah, I mean, everything you said is just quadrupled for me. I mean, that fumble saved my under by a lot, under 45 and a half. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, if the Texans kick that field goal, go up by 6, you're looking in danger. My bet's completely dead, and could have been a different week for the podcast, but that fumble was everything. And then also just them calling him down was also huge as well, because then that, obviously took a touchdown off the board for the Colts defense. So, yeah, no, that was big. Honestly, once that fumble happened, I felt pretty good. Just I didn't feel too confident in the, either. I didn't think the Texans were necessarily going to be trying to drive the field at that point. And then, the Colts, again, you have Anthony Richardson. So once they got to that point and they basically needed a field goal to tie, I was a little nervous, but felt pretty good with the ball in Anthony Richardson's hands that not too much was going to happen. But like I said, if Anthony Richardson makes, 2 bomb completions or has a bomb touchdown, this under's in jeopardy. And that would have been the situation right there. If, if they would have gotten the ball back, he had, either ran or had a big completion to put them in field goal range, we would have been cooked. But luckily that didn't happen, and we were able to cash the under 45 and a half. I feel extremely lucky about this one. I mean, I feel like I was on the right side of it, but definitely had to have some luck to come through on it. And for all the luck that I expensed on this bet right here, it all came back to me in the one that cost us our only loss that we'll get into in a little bit. So I'll take the lucky ones, because it could have easily been a 3-2 week for me.
Yeah, I don't think there was necessarily a right side either way on the over or the under or the spread. I think this is just one of those coin flip games. Houston was probably a little bit better at home. Could have easily won by 6, ended up being 3. Same with the over-under. You got lucky in some ways, like at the end there, but unlucky in some ways, like with Richardson throwing that interception that led to a score before the half that probably would have only been a 3 at most otherwise. So. At the end of the day, we both win a couple coin flips on this game. We'll take it, because we've lost a few coin flips so far this year. We deserve a few coming back our way, I believe. My next bet, all the rest of ours are in the 3 o'clock window. Buffalo -3, both of us on this one. Pretty much the easiest bet of the day. They really just came out and took it to the Seahawks from the jump. My cap relied on the Buffalo running game getting going, and they certainly did that. 34 carries, 164 yards, 2 touchdowns. On the other side, I was scared of Seattle's rushing attack potentially being the way that they would kind of stay in this game, and it did not get going at all. 17 for 32 yep. yards and a score. When there's that big of a disparity, it's going to be really hard to keep up, especially with Josh Allen on the other side. 38 minutes of possession for Buffalo, 445 total yards to 233 for the Seahawks. This was a good old-fashioned beating, and -3 was the play all the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And Geno didn't really have that bad of a day. I mean, 21 for 29, just over 200 yards. Didn't have a prolific passing day, but yeah, when you don't have any help in the run game, even, you know, it's tough for the quarterback to get going, especially a quarterback like Geno Smith. So yeah, great call by Nick here. This was one that I ended up throwing in on Saturday morning because I didn't like a couple of lines that had moved against me. So yeah, Bills -3 was a great call by Nick. He was on it all week, even from the very early look ahead that we did. He called that one out and rode with it all the way. And yeah, a great bet, you know, great call again by Nick, and great bet for the podcast. A good one that you didn't have to sweat out, because we both had multiple games in the 3 o'clock window. So it was nice to see the Bills just jump on top and really never gave the Seahawks a chance.
Yeah, 100%. My next best bet, the last one we had together, another winner, Las Vegas +9.5. Luckily for me, I gave the disclaimer that if T. Higgins was missing on the morning of, I was going to pivot to this Raiders team. The Bengals not only didn't cover, they got smoked at home against the Eagles. A little bit of a closer game than the final score indicates, but still lost by 20. And the Raiders end up covering +9.5. I'll give Cody credit for this one. I had some conviction on it early in the week. At +10, but once it moved down, it didn't have too much interest. He made some good points when he was on it on Saturday. I decided to make it my backup for the Bengals game, and I'm glad I did. Hard to say if this was really the right side. I think it was. The Chiefs won this game. They were the better team, but were they 10 points better? I don't think so. 334 total yards to 228. One turnover both ways. Basically, the Chiefs could run a little bit, and the Raiders couldn't run at all. Both quarterbacks played really similar games. Both had one turnover. They both had about 7 yards per attempt. And at the end of the day, the better side ends up squeaking this one out. The Raiders give us that last touchdown at the end that helps us cover. But at the same time, they also got stopped at the 1 yard line a few minutes before that. Could have easily just, scored that touchdown, then had the Chiefs go down, go up 7 and win that way. And, it would have looked a little prettier, but pretty much the same process behind it. So this is kind of the reason you take these big numbers in these divisional games. Usually the better teams, just don't dominate the way that they do against teams not in their division. And this is kind of what happened in this case, I think.
Yeah. I mean, whatever the Raiders found on their last drive of the game, for a Chiefs fan, I'm glad they waited till the very last drive to figure out whatever it was, because they moved that ball
they got rolling a little bit.
Mm-hmm. without any issues almost. I think they only had one fourth down that they got to, completed that. I think it was a 4th and 1. So, yeah, the Raiders were – I mean – it feels just like every Chiefs game with these big numbers. You know, they're going to get somewhere between a 10 and 14 point lead, and the back door is going to be open for the other team to come in and potentially, cover. And the Raiders just did that for us. Obviously, they were down 14. We had to have the touchdown. They ended up getting it in there. Honestly, a great throw by Gardner Minshew to score that last touchdown as well. Mm-hmm. It was pressure in his face. Yeah. And, had to kind of just put one out there for his receiver. His receiver turned at the right time. I mean, just a beautiful play to end up getting this cover as well. So, yeah, it was the right call. Now, since 2020, Mahomes would be 14-23 against the spread as a favorite of more than a TD. So, obviously, that trend continues to be very strong. And, yeah, I feel like this Chiefs team, you kind of know what they're going to be. They're going to be close in just about every game. They may get that 10 to 14 point lead, but then you're just relying on the other team to get that backdoor cover. And this one came through for us. So yeah, very, very happy about this one. Obviously my Chiefs still pull out the win, move to 7-0, and we get the Raiders +9.5 to cover. So overall, good game for me. Love this one quite a bit.
Yeah. We were on this number correctly. I think above a touchdown, the Raiders were definitely the play here. My last best bet of the 3 o'clock window, my last winner, New Orleans, LA, under 41. This one ended up being a little bit of a sweat towards the end because the Chargers took a pretty big lead and New Orleans started garbage timing their way down the field. And I think it was first and goal at the 3 was the last play of the game for New Orleans. They threw an incompletion. Thankfully, it would have pushed at the end of the day at a 26-8 score, would have made it exactly 41. But regardless, I think the under was the right side the whole way here. This thing was 3-2 for a while in the first half. It was pretty funny just watching this baseball score build itself out. 9-5 at half. Yep. Always, just I always love seeing that sort of thing on the scoreboard. Just really unique situation when the safety comes through. So, honestly, the total yards a little bit misleading. 366 and 378. Sounds like it could have been higher scoring, but I think a lot of that had to do with the garbage time at the end for the Saints. You know, they really didn't have much success on offense in this one. That total yard figure, a little misleading. 2-16 on third down for the Saints. 3-12 for the Chargers. 15 combined punts. Absolutely beautiful for an under better. You love to see it. No turnovers either way either. That was kind of part of my cap on Wednesday, was saying that both these offenses are going to be conservative. They were. They actually threw a lot more than I expected them to. But again, I think that had something to do with the Saints kind of just going into pass mode late here. Thank you, Jay Kaner, for not throwing a touchdown at the end, giving me my 5-0 week.
Yep, absolutely. This game was, I just got updates through Red Zone on it. Was not watching this one. Did Rattler get hurt? And is that why Haener came in, or did they just make the change at some point in the fourth quarter to give Haener?
Yeah, you know, I was in transit when that happened. To be honest, I was keeping my eye on the game, but at that point, I was not watching it. So I don't know what happened with Haener. Not sure if they just went down by a lot, similar to the week before, and just brought him in. So you know, Rattler wouldn't be taking shots late in the game that didn't matter, but I'm not sure. I have to look that one up.
Gotcha. Yeah, I wasn't too sure either. I just, as the Chiefs and Raiders was wrapping up, this one had a little bit more time left on it, and kind of saw a glimpse of Haener at the end. Like you said, kind of having an opportunity to score there. And they may have gone for two, so you may have even had the chance to cover if they did score a touchdown, but that would have been a real sweat at the end. So, absolutely.
Personal biggest bet of the year as well. I had a lot of confidence coming into it, and I doubled down on it because the number actually went up to 41.5 at my book right before game time. So I made it a 2-unit play, and I was very happy to see it come through.
Nice. Absolutely. Yeah, that was a good one. Neg said never really in danger until the very end when the Saints finally kind of moved the ball down the field. My last best bet, the only losing bet for the podcast of the week. Glad we saved this one for last. Bears -3 at the Commanders. And got to say, waking up on Sunday morning, definitely lost a little bit of confidence in this one. Obviously, you had the news Jaden Daniels was going to play. But Sunday morning, I actually ended up getting this at Bears +1.5. That's how much the line had moved from that news. And then before the 12 o'clock games kicked off, I went back and checked it again, and the Bears were back to -1.5. So just some insane line movement on Sunday morning, obviously flipping back and forth a little bit. So obviously some sharps had some confidence in Jaden Daniels starting, even with the injury that I did not see. This was low scoring. The Bears defense did what they needed to do. They were able to get off the field on third down exactly as I was projecting. Obviously, only field goals for the Commanders up until the Hail Mary at the very end of the game. But this really just comes down to Caleb Williams had a way worse game than I was expecting against this Commanders defense. Really comes down to the Bears offensive line. They're not a good unit, and Caleb already holds the ball a little bit longer than he probably should as a rookie quarterback. And behind that offensive line, if your first or second read's not open, it becomes difficult because you have pressure on you basically right away. And the Commanders were able to generate a pass rush, which I was not really expecting as well in this game. So, just a bad Caleb game. He had a decent fourth quarter, ended up obviously getting to the point where this was almost a push before the Hail Mary. Even with that, I mean, at one point in the third quarter, I looked, he was 4 of 16 passing. A real Anthony Richardson-esque line, and just really didn't give me a lot of confidence. Luckily, again, the Bears defense was good enough. It kept them in this game the entire time, and then they hit the 2-point conversion. So we were, a Hail Mary away from pushing this game. But, whenever I was, it was basically Chiefs, Raiders, and then this was the other game that I was watching. And anytime he had the ball in his hand for more than 2 seconds, he was basically throwing it out of bounds. And that just it was a rough game to watch. Like I said, came so close to a push, which would have really felt like we were stealing back our money from Vegas, because I didn't really feel like they played good enough on offense to get there. But, you know, ended up losing it at the very end. An unbelievable Hail Mary. Obviously, I'm sure Nick has seen it. It's been everywhere. The Bears defensive player running basically down the sideline, taunting fans, not covering his guy on a Hail Mary. And that's the guy who ends up catching it in the after it's tipped into the end zone. And he's the one who tips it straight up in the air. Yeah, it's just that's a rough look. I don't know how good that guy is on a week-to-week basis, but he must be better than your average cornerback, because I'd imagine he would have got cut today if he was average or less than that. So, yeah, that's a rough way to – he's not going to enjoy film this week. That's going to be a real rough look for him. So, overall, like we said at the beginning, a great week. Not too upset about it. I mean, all the luck that I got in the under and the Colts and Texans basically went away with that Hail Mary in this game, and that's all right. I know I'll take it. Sometimes it goes your way. Sometimes it doesn't, and – you know, if that Bears defensive player is playing his man, then we're probably 4-0-1. But that's football. You never know what could happen. That's what makes this game as great as it is. So we'll take again a 4-1 week and almost back to 500 and ready to keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, a couple comments on the game. The cap was all about Jaden missing. We were pretty confident that was the case. I think the line reflected that. The fact that it moved so much after he was ruled in, I think shows you that a lot of people weren't expecting that to be the case. So sometimes, you know, you're betting on these ambiguous injury situations with quarterbacks. We thought we had a good number, and I feel pretty confident in saying it would have moved up a couple points towards the Bears if he had been ruled out. He goes, you're in a tough spot, 4.5 points of closing line, I guess, unvalue at that point, since we had that -3, and then the Hail Mary on top of it. Just some bad luck, you know. On this day, we're not too upset about it. A day where, you know, it's 5-5 instead of 5-4-1, it hurts a little more. But I don't mind the cap at all. It completely changes once Jaden's in the game. So what it is. You know, we only have so much information. We're betting on what we have. Yeah, great week for the boys, 9-1. Like I said, back in the green. We're going to look to keep it going. This slate next week, I don't have as many strong reads early in the week. Cody, I don't know if you have any look-aheads. I have a couple I could get to if you want me to start. But if you have any you're very confident in, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, just the one that really sticks out to me so far is Texans-Jets on Thursday night. The Texans are getting 1.5 right now. And I'm not saying go bet it now. Obviously, if I like it, by the time our Thursday episode comes around, I'll put it in my five. But there has to be something fishy out there to where the Vegas books are still giving the Jets, you know, 1.5 worth of being a favorite. So, yeah, there's got to be something there that I'm not necessarily thinking about. But, I mean, I think the Texans have almost every advantage. I mean, better. Yeah, I know, but gosh.
ACL, I believe, in this game. All right, let me look. I don't know if there's an update on that. He's not going to say that.
Yeah, he's not playing for sure. I don't know if they said it was a torn ACL yet, but it definitely looked like it. But that's just, you have the coaching advantage. I think you have the quarterback advantage. I think you know, their defenses are relatively similar. I don't know. There's got to be something that I'm not seeing that I'll definitely take a look into, but Texans +1.5 at least interests me so far. But like you said, Vegas could just be expecting this to be a low-scoring game without Diggs in there. CJ Stroud probably will struggle a little bit, and the Jets will probably have a chance to win it down the stretch is basically how they're handicapping it, but I'm not too sure. I mean, the Jets are just a very, very flawed team. So to see them being favorites against it's a banged up Houston team. Like I said, I'll do a little bit more research into it, but that's the one that stuck out to me the most going into this week.
Yeah, definitely an interesting line. I would be probably scared off of Texans because I imagine the entire world's going to be on Houston with that point.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's still moving that way. So it was Houston -1 when it opened, and now it's Jets -1.5, even with what I would imagine is most tickets on Houston. So definitely some fishy line movement. We'll have to look into that one. A couple more I had my eye on. Miami +6. Yeah. It's a tough spot to bet them. I feel like we're kind of – that's just like buying low and selling high here. The Bills off two really nice wins. Miami off an embarrassing loss at home to the Cardinals. And, you know, the offense didn't look quite the same. I think it looked pretty good, though. Correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Miami's played pretty well in Buffalo. I know Buffalo's had their number winning I think Miami got their ass kicked last year after the 70-point game. They got their ass kicked by Buffalo. But beyond that, I think they've actually played pretty well, covering most numbers in Buffalo. I'll do some research into that one, though. Number to watch. I know you don't have to take that right now, though. I think the only way that goes is towards seven. Chargers, Cleveland, under 42.5. Chargers, again, I am going to keep attacking these unders. They are 7-for-7 under 40 after this week. And 42.5 seems like a pretty high number. I know we liked the over with Jameis this week, but that was more about the Baltimore team than it was the Chargers. I just don't understand. You're only dropping this by 2 points with the Chargers, who are like the biggest under team in the league, versus the Ravens, who might be the biggest over team in the league. Like, seems like there should be more than 2 points of value. Probably an overreaction to last week, so I'll have my eye on that. I might take it too, because I could see that heading down. New England plus 3. Who are the Titans to be getting 3 points against anybody other than the Panthers? I don't really care if it's Brissett or May. I think either one. I'd probably like the Pats here. And then a couple big dogs. I like them both. Probably not going to bet them both, but I might have one. Denver plus 9 at Baltimore. Matchup's intriguing. The Baltimore defense is just straight bad. They've allowed a ton of second half points. The back door is always going to be open there. And then Tampa Bay plus 9, baby, on the road against the Chiefs. We will keep attacking big numbers against this Chiefs team for reasons we've already laid out. They struggle covering these numbers. I think Tampa matches up pretty well on the offensive side. I really wish we could have seen this game with Evans and Godwin. Would have been a really good one. I would have probably played Tampa on the money line and on the spread. I assume this would be more like 5, but I just really like the matchup for Tampa because KC stops the run. Tampa doesn't care. They don't want to run anyway. We saw with the Raiders last week, if you can spread them out and hit your passes in a spread formation, that might be the way to attack this Chiefs defense. So anyway, we'll see. I'll probably have one of those dogs in, not both, but those are the ones I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Buccaneers. Same thing as the Ravens, though. They're kind of an over team to the max. Their defense isn't phenomenal, and their offense, I mean, even last week was still able to get somewhat going against the Falcons, even without those weapons missing. So over 44.5. Don't love it going against the Chiefs unders, which we've been riding quite a bit, but honestly don't mind it in that game. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like it a little bit. I think the Bucs, like you said, I think the Bucs will be able to move the ball well, and then the Chiefs, if they just put their 24 points up, then I think there's a chance that it gets there. But
sure.
Well, I'm much more with you on the plus. Vandal has it at plus 9.5. Like, I'm more likely to play that than the over. But I think if you are going to play the plus 9.5, I don't mind the over either, because I do. I think Baker's just a lot better than I feel like even some people still give him credit for. I mean, that performance last week with no Evans, no Godwin, that was a complete pumpkin game possibility for Baker, and he had the minute down to the end. So a little bit more respect, but, they could have also,
fair.
Could have also been one of those games where last week was basically they had to just give it all because it was for the division, somewhat for the division, because now the Falcons have basically a 2-game lead on them. But, yeah, I don't know. I'll have to see. But, yeah, I like the lines that you called out for sure. We'll do our preview. That'll come out Thursday, where we'll kind of talk through each of these games and give a little bit more definitive on which sides that we like. But, I like next week's slate so far. I think there's a couple of good plays already that we're talking about, and that is it feels good going in to next week, coming off a good week this week. So, got to love that.
Yep.
Let's keep it rolling. Anything else? Yep. Anything else? You want to talk about Mizzou, or should we just save that for a different time?
No. Yeah, we can go off podcast. There's going to be too many obscenities, I believe. But, yeah. Absolutely terrible. We're disgustingly hard to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get out of here on sadly a low note now. But, again, 9-1 week. Share the podcast, family, friends, enemies, coworkers. I don't care. Everybody. And we'll hopefully keep bringing some 5-star reviews. Keep bringing you guys some winning weeks. And we'll be back on Thursday previewing week 9. Peace out.
Peace.